What's up, folks? Welcome to another episode of Sold Out right here on CJLO Radio 1690 AM. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, this week's episode is going to be a little bit different from what we're usually used to here on the show because although it will have plenty of music, there's going to be a common denominator, I could say, between all these tracks because we're talking about soul bass. And when I say we're talking about, I mean I'm not doing it alone because I'm doing it with none other than local legendary bass player. You might want to come a little bit closer. Just there you go.
That good?
Yeah, that's good. I'm here with Eli Heimowitz. He's a local bass player extraordinaire. I'm really excited to have him on the show. Welcome to the show, Eli.
Hey, Luke. Great to be here. Thanks so much.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. Let me know if you want more in your headphones ever because here okay. I usually like to crank it up a little bit.
Yeah.
There cool. We go. It's radio. Just want to make sure you're comfortable.
Yeah, it's my first time doing a radio show, so it's definitely it's a new experience. I'm excited.
Well, welcome to it, man. I'm really excited to have you here.
Thanks, man.
And people are probably going to say, you know, I could have done a bass show, not had a guest, just play bass, cool songs with cool bass in them. But I'm like, no, I want Eli to be here because this guy knows a thing or two, some tricks of the trade. Where does your bass playing odyssey begin?
Well, I first started playing bass when I was in university. So I played guitar in high school. I was one of those kind of like, I would say kind of a bad guitar player. I was kind of one of those like bad guitar players. And I realized after a lot of listening to music, I kind of listened to the bass kind of more naturally than I listened to the treble. So when it came time for me to kind of get an instrument that I could actually pay for and afford, I chose a bass and I never really put it down after that. I just kind of kept playing, kept practicing, kept listening.
Cool. So if I talk to Eli from 5-6 years ago and I'm like, hey, what are you listening to? How come bass? Like who's driving this interest now?
The first bass line I ever learned was by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was Soul to Squeeze. That was the first bass line I ever really like checked out.
Interesting.
Was Flea's bass line on that track.
Interesting.
And then of course Paul McCartney licks on like all you know.
Oh my god.
Beatles discography I was into.
Yes.
I remember trying to learn Norwegian Wood and not being able to. That was
like one note. It's just like
a
drone.
But the thing about bass is that I didn't realize playing guitar it's so important to be on time.
Ah, yes.
And until I learned how to kind of sing what I was playing. Only then could I really kind of get that.
Totally. And that's good for McCartney licks because those are so singable. It's almost like brass lines, you know? It's almost like listening to like a tuba or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So sounds – and I know that you've been affiliated with bands that haven't necessarily been super like soul-oriented, which is, you know, what this show is basically all about. but that's good. Can you want to talk about a little bit about – those kinds of different acts that you've been involved with?
So I think the great thing about playing an instrument like the bass is that it is so versatile and that it really is like when you're learning a new genre of music, it's like picking up a language and you can really apply, it's like a language, but you can apply vocabulary from one language to another.
Sure.
So playing blues licks on a soul tune or playing funk licks on a hip hop tune, like that works. And I think it's really easy to kind of develop your own voice that spans many different genres of music and still kind of retain your individuality.
Absolutely.
And that's really fun. Like I've always enjoyed that about playing bass. It's always been really enjoyable for me. I currently play, I actually just released a record last week with a psychedelic folk band called Aquarius Dreams.
Yes. An excellent band.
Great band. Super fun to play with. All very talented musicians. I have to.
Who else is it? You want to give some shout outs?
Oh man. Okay. So Henry Rabelais is the, I'm saying his last name right. Henry's on the vocals and acoustic guitar. Jason Field is the guitar player.
Okay.
Chris Price is on trumpet. Edward Dye is on violin. Will Bennett is on drums. And Keegan Bolanoo is on keys.
I didn't know you had a trumpet.
Yes.
And fiddle player.
It's psychedelic, man. You gotta have all the sounds.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a sweet band to play with. And then I also play in a couple soul bands around Montreal. I play with a girl named Andrea Piperni.
Okay.
She's putting out records or songs all the time, and she does a bunch of gigs. A lot of fun to play with as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, we met, well, just to, in letting the listeners know how we met too, because I met you through this kind of context as a local kind of hired gun type. at Bootlegger a couple weeks ago for the Leonie Gray fundraiser.
Absolutely.
You played an excellent set. You played with a three bands or something that night?
I actually played with only one band that night, I think. But Andrea was there. We did play a song together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. It was a sweet gig. So that's with Cooler Than Freezing. We do a bunch of covers, a bunch of cover gigs all around town. A lot of fun. Great. Again, great players.
Oh, so good.
It's one of those things where I feel like, because I came kind of late to the bass world, being able to get on stage with these amazing players, I'm always like so happy whenever I can play with somebody who I, you know, look up to musically.
Totally.
It's always a lot of fun.
Totally. No, it was amazing. I want to stress to people that if they want to catch, are you guys going to play any shows, you think, in the near future?
So I am not playing with that band in the next gig, because I have my friend's actually getting married in Toronto. So I'm have to get a sub. So I'm actually missing the next gig. But yeah, they're playing at Bootlegger again. I think it's October. I don't want to say the wrong date. Maybe the 13th.
Well, people should just know that if they walk into Bootlegger on any other night, there's a good chance that they're going to catch you or the rest of the band there for sure. Absolutely. And they're in for some really good music.
It's always fun.
Yeah. But in keeping with this kind of spirit, when I saw you play at that at Bootlegger that one time, you were playing some pretty funky, well-timed, like you're talking about good timing and funkiness in bass.
Sure.
If you want to point, because you've made a playlist for tonight.
I have made a playlist, yeah.
So do you want to point us into the direction where you want to start, where you think what's a good, accurate representation of your bass playing style? Sure. As you emulate somebody else, who would you point to?
So I think when we're talking about soul music, I think one of my biggest influences on having that vocabulary that crosses so many genres, I mean, he's a popular guy, but Pino Palladino is, I think, one of the most respectable bass players doing it today.
Amen.
Plays with people from Elton John to John Mayer to D'Angelo.
I saw him play with The Who.
Yeah, exactly. He's the new Don Entwistle.
I was like, what are you doing here?
Because he has that sound that is so versatile, but it's so desirable in any genre of music, and it's really incredible to kind of watch him do his thing. So
100%.
I put on the playlist a song he does with D'Angelo called Chicken Grease.
Yeah, we should.
Which has got some good little licks and lines.
Oh, it has amazing licks and lines. Yeah. You could have picked anything from. I've played a lot of stuff from Voodoo here on the show. I don't think I've played Chicken Grease, but I've played a bunch of other stuff, and every time between Questlove and
rhythm section. I mean,
you know.
Oh yeah, I mean Questlove's whole thing was being like a robot. That was his whole thing. And there's a video of him in an interview talking about how D'Angelo told him to kind of not do that, and you can hear it on the entire record of Voodoo. D'Angelo told him to quote play drunk and like use the force.
Yes.
And he was like, I never saw Star Wars, I can't do that. And I, after a lot of just practicing playing kind of incorrectly, he got the Voodoo sound.
See, I heard he was trying to do emulate that J Dilla broken drum machine thing.
Yeah, that was D'Angelo's whole thing, was kind of a tribute to that
lo-fi. He's like, I want Questlove to be able to play like quantized but incorrect beats,
which
is super, super crazy.
Yeah, and it gives it all this like very live kind of jammy feel.
Yeah.
But then you have tight players who know what they're doing. It can come together beautifully, and that's exactly what Voodoo is.
Totally. So you think you want to jump right into it? We want to hear Chicken Grease right now?
Yeah, and then I got some ideas for after that, because there's one of my favorite videos on YouTube is this guy named Sheree Reed, who we can talk about afterwards. He does some cool stuff.
Sweet. All right, people, you heard the man. We're going to listen to D'Angelo right now with the track from Voodoo. It's called Chicken Grease. We're going to take a little commercial break, but we're going to be right back to talk way more bass and way more soul after this, right here on CJLO Radio, 1690 AM. Sold out. Whoops.
Let me tell you about the chicken grease. Stuff some things to make the people get out the seat. Look, everybody is good if you wanna clap your hands and stomp your feet. Come on down to the front, but you can feel the beat. From the left to right, to the back, to the middle, and the front. be on time. Shake it off and do what you want. But let me pump it in the club and get the bit to bust the bump. I know you love me cause I'm funky, cause I just want to show you some love. But you my brothers on the avenue, super chicken green. To the other side, the wall. But not the kid. See, I'm like that old bucket of the Crisco, the sitting on top of the stove. Send my simmer to a sizzle like a day. But I wait till the master dips. Let the others go first, so the mothers won't miss. Fried till it's burning crisp. See, we be cooking so the folks can raise their fists like this. Now you know how it's going down. Don't let your neck dip. Move your back and work your way down to your feet. So you need. Come on, everybody, let's I just wanna put you down.
Yeah.
I just want y'all to get down.
Yeah. Everybody come lay down.
Yeah. Give me a little bit of that chicken grease. Come on down in the front, but baby, yo, it's cool, it's cool. Everybody that's making the bump, put you in school, put you in school. But take a lesson from the blessings, discussions without the passion thing. I got the music and the instruments, and this is my weapons at hand. Everybody on the floor, that's the difference to me.
Clap your hands,
clap your hands, but just stomp your feet. I just wanna put you down.
Yeah.
I just want y'all to get down.
Yeah.
Everybody come lay down.
Yeah.
Everybody is on me.
Oh my god, the mall's boring and my Walkman is so grody. What am I gonna do? For your nostalgia needs and to hear all things Tubular, tune in to Nosin' Around Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. on CJLO.
CJLO 1690 AM's annual funding drive is taking place from Monday, September 9th to Sunday, September 22nd. From our many killer events, our fresh new merchandise, and our top-notch raffle prizes, there is sure to be something for everyone. And it's all going to a good cause, supporting local community radio. Visit cjlofundingdrive.com for more information and to find out about our events, our raffle prizes, and how you can donate. And as always, keep it locked to CJLO 1690 AM.
Welcome back to the show, people. You're listening to Sold Out right here on CJLO 1690 AM. This is Lou here reporting on behalf of the Montreal Soul community, but I'm not doing it alone because I have Ellie Heimowitz right here in the studio with me.
How's it going?
And we're talking all things bass. And I'm happy to have a local person on the show. a local musician, I should say, on the show this week because, as you heard in the last little commercial, this is funding drive season for the station. So if anybody feels inclined to drop a couple, some pocket change, anything you got, there's links on the CJLO website, cjlo.com. There's also a phone number. I'm going to read it off the wall right here. It's 514-940-3095. If you call that number, the phone right in front of me right here in the studio is going to ring, and I can take your name and credit card information. No, I wouldn't do that, but but I would take some information down if you want to pledge, and we could do it the old-fashioned way. But that's not what we're here for today. We're here to talk all about bass, and right before the break, we heard Chicken Grease by D'Angelo with the one and only Pino Palladino on bass. I love that song, man.
Thanks. Great tune, yeah.
Ellie chose some songs to play over the course of the night, and we're going to try to weave in and out of them, I guess. What was the way in which you found Pino among other people?
So, kind of like we said before, Pino is one of those guys who spans so many different genres of music and so many different musicians. I think the first time I heard the name Pino Palladino was on John Mayer's live record with the Trio. And he's like introducing the band, and he goes, Pino Palladino on the bass, and the whole crowd just starts cheering. And I was like, that's a really pretty name. Like, what a unique
Pino.
Name. I had no idea what he looked like. I didn't know he was a very tall Welsh man who's much older than
everybody. Is he Welsh?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. He's a very old Welsh man. Markedly older than everybody else. He's, you know, especially John Mayer and D'Angelo. Well,
D'Angelo's what? He's got to be like 50
he's up there.
Now,
he's
right?
He's Pino's definitely an old dude, or at least he looks very elderly, but in like a very strong way. It's hard to explain, but he's got a certain look that is
old man.
It's unique. Like, you don't expect to see him on stage with the people he's on stage
yeah,
with a lot of
right.
Ways.
Yeah. Except if it's like me and you see him with the Who and you're like, oh yeah, they're all 70 something.
I'd say he fits in with the Who pretty well. So that's how I got into Pino, and then kind of checking out the other bass lines he's done and who he's checked out, right? I mean, his influences, right? Going on Wikipedia pages and looking up who does Pino take after, right? And the name that always kind of dropped for me was James Jamerson, right? The father of Motown.
Oh, yeah.
Not father of Motown, but the kind of the bass voice of Motown. And I mean, since I was a kid, I've heard, you know, Grapevine and, you know, What's Going On and these great
tunes. Marvin Gaye tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
Among other things. Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, actually digging into those tunes is just kind of just so fulfilling to, like, learn these songs. So I think that's how I got into Pino, and that's how I kind of started to branch into other bass players that I now, like, consider my influences as well.
So it's mostly through that Motown route, you'd say?
I think so. I mean, I was raised on, like, I mean, so I'm from Seattle originally, so
yes.
Grunge was always a part of, like, I mean, like, Nirvana bass lines were always a thing that I was, like, listening to when I was a kid, and, like, things like The Who, like, the Beatles, all the Britpop kind of stuff was definitely something that I listened to a lot.
For sure.
But when it came to bass playing, I found that I was just more drawn to the stuff where the bass stuck out, right? And in Motown, the bass sticks out a little more than in the Beatles, a little more than in the Who, right?
Yeah, and what's interesting also when you start, like, I similarly, when I was like a teenager, I was really into 60s garage rock, R&B, whatever, or like, you know, the things that we'd call blues rock and stuff today, and what ended up becoming the big time rock and roll bands like the Stones and Zeppelin and stuff. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the common denominators between those bands, among all the American music that they were digesting, there's like blues influences, jazz influences, but there's so much R&B and stuff, and there's so much to unpack, right? Like, I keep mentioning The Who, but they keep coming back because, again, they start as an R&B or maximum R&B. They kind of tag really? Themselves out. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That. That's funny.
So, like, and among other bands too, like early Stone stuff, and you know, so it's interesting. Some people, like, I mean, maybe I'm just speaking from my own experience. I took this route finding more R&B stuff because these original guys that I was interested in,
that's what they were digging.
So,
yeah. And I think as a bass player, like, R&B just bass has more of a role, right? There's not as much loud guitar. So to carry, like, the chords of a song, the bass kind of has to be there and do something cool and do something unique.
Carrying the chords is a very good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Because I only figured that out recently. Mm-hmm. And my music theory is, like, not, you know, I'm not like a Mensa level genius with music theory.
Okay.
But do you find that bass plays such a fundamental role in setting, like, the how do I say this?
Kind of the harmonic content of a song?
Yeah, it's like the home plate for every chord change, basically, because whatever you hit is going to probably be the root. Yeah. Like, you can do jazz without even knowing it, because you can just you can modulate things over other people's chords and make it sound like you're playing the actual melody.
Speaking of jazz specifically, I mean, if you're walking a bass line, you're walking through the chords.
And exactly.
There's less chordal instruments generally in jazz music, right? If the guitar is soloing and you're playing in a trio, you're walking a bass line and those are the chord changes. So... Mm-hmm. Coming from that to funk, which generally has a lot of jazz influence, the chords may be simpler, but the bass is still carrying that fundamental.
Oh, yeah, it's like a tether, you know?
Yeah, and there's also the thing of, like, you can do the cool bass things where, say, you play a C major chord and you play an A underneath it on the bass, you have an A minor 7.
Exactly.
And that lets you do these, like, really cool kind of different kind of across-instrument voicings. Exactly. And those are really fun. I absolutely think that when you're talking about the role of bass in a song, in a band... Carrying the chords is a fundamental role that has to be there. And if it's done right, it can sound fluid and really kind of make a tune really kind of next level.
Absolutely. And you even brought a track on this playlist that you made that seems to do a similar job
to
that.
Which one are you talking about?
I think you know which one I'm talking about here. this is the Sheree Reid cover.
Oh, Joy to the World.
This is
one of those YouTube videos. It has a ton of views, even though it has very, very, like, not great quality.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a live video. So Sheree Reid is one of these bass players who kind of pops up as a very respected bass player. He plays right now with Corey Henry and the Funk Apostles, which is a great band to check out.
Corey Henry.
But before he was in the Funk Apostles with Corey, he was just a gospel bass player who was doing kind of his own stuff. And this song is him live playing in, I guess, like a church gospel jam. And it just has some of the most ripping bass lines.
Sweet.
And you'll find it, he's definitely showing off a bit, but he's carrying the chords. The fundamentals are all there. And it rips. I mean, I hope the listeners have a good bass EQ, because it's got to be there. But
I'll let you hear that. I don't know, man. This is an AM frequency, so...
hopefully it comes through.
Everything gets pretty hard compressed. But in any case, if you're in the car right now, or if you're listening online at cjlo.com, you'll probably get good reception. But I'm going to post this anyway, the good quality recording. I'm going to post it later on when we're done.
Definitely bump the low end on there, because it is.
And
watch the YouTube video, because it's also impressive. I mean, there's a whole crowd of guys watching him, and he plays a lick, and the whole crowd just goes, oh my God, like, it's crazy.
Oh, okay. I can't wait to hear this. I listened to the songs you sent me on this playlist, but I'm getting excited all over again just to hear it. All right, people, you heard the man. We're going to listen to Sheree Reid right now. This is his cover of Joy to the World back in 2006, right here on CJLO Radio, 1690 AM. This is Sold Out.
So we can sing a song at Christmas time. Look at your neighbor and say, Joy. Thank you.
Oh yeah, people, I don't know about you, but I was bobbing my head quite a bit during that track.
That's a fun one, man.
Oh yeah. Sorry for the quality, people. It's nobody's fault, really. But
I believe the audio is taken from YouTube. So it's right. Not exactly the highest.
Well, I'm just happy it's on Spotify to begin with.
Yeah, I was surprised to find it, to be honest. I didn't expect...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep. So welcome back to Sold Out, everybody. We're still talking about all things bass here on the show, and I'm talking about it with the one guy in the city who...
I feel like I should give a disclaimer. There are some amazing bass players in this city, I promise.
There are. Who would you say in the local scene are among your top faves?
I mean, anybody who plays in Urban Science, I immediately have a lot of respect for. They do Le Cypher, a bootlegger, every Thursday.
Right, so that's Fred Doston.
Fred Doston is one of my... Yeah, he actually... The reason I use the current strings that I use in my bass, which are Tomastic Infield strings. I'm not sponsored.
Say it again. I remember you told me this, and I wrote it down.
Tomastic infield strings.
What gauge are you working with there?
I think they're 45s.
Okay.
I could be wrong though. They're flat wounds, and they have a very full thumpy kind of sound. It's also what Pino uses.
Mm.
I was maybe a year or so ago now. I was looking to make the switch from rounds to flats to get that more Jamerson Pino kind of thump sound, because that's just I want to have that voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Fred, because he's just I see him a lot at jam sessions, and he's just such a nice guy. And it's what are you using? He just goes, Tomastic Infield are the best. And boom.
Sweet.
The next week I got him. Yeah.
See, I was too chicken to go all the way to flats.
Oh, yeah?
So I went to semi-flats.
Okay.
I'm sure if you played them side by side with flats, they don't sound like round wounds. But I'm sure I wouldn't really even be able to tell the difference other than I think they're cheaper.
Okay.
I think the semi-flats are cheaper than flat wounds.
Interesting.
But I've been loving them, man. I've been, I just got my bass restrung over the summer.
Oh, really? Okay.
And you know when you get your bass restrung or you string it yourself, and especially with round wounds, and it sounds like a trash can. Do you know what I mean?
It gets pretty tinny.
It sounds so tinny.
It gets tinny, yeah.
I didn't have that problem for the first time with these semi-flats.
I think that is a thing actually unique with rounds, is that you do have that kind of tinny sound. You have to kind of break them in. And there's a sweet spot of after you play on them for a certain amount of hours, they start to sound the way you want them to.
Yes.
But then they get dead after a while.
Oh, yes.
The thing about flats that I really like, and I mean, I'm sure there are equal arguments for both schools of which strings to use, but flats get better as you go. Tomastic infields are expensive, but they last about 12 years.
It's 12
until
years?
They get fully dead. Yeah, and that's kind of and they get better until they're not, right? So,
okay.
I mean, it's definitely more expensive, but it's worth, for me, it's worth the investment. They don't have as much tinniness even at the beginning.
Yeah.
But you can still kind of get a good amount of pluck out of them if you're trying to do that.
Interesting.
High-end stuff, yeah.
What bass do you play, actually?
I play a Baucus P bass. I got it from a local musician who has a lot of Baucus instruments. But Baucus is essentially a handmade version of Fender's. Doesn't mean it's more expensive or less expensive. It's actually quite a bit more affordable. Where Fender uses kind of CNC machines to do the manufacturing, apparently Baucus are cut out by hand.
No kidding.
Yeah, or at least manufactured by hand.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it's basically a P bass. Sounds like one, feels like one. Bit of a thinner neck than P basses that I've tried by Fender. But sound is the same, and it's a sweet instrument.
Honestly, right? I find I've even come across Ibanez copies of jazz basses and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I put Ibanez's for a couple of years.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
I have an active Ibanez bass. It's a SR-400, something
cool.
Like that.
Cool. I had an SR-750 for a couple of years, and an Ibanez BTB 475, I think.
Interesting. They got to get better names.
They're the weirdest naming structures. Yeah.
But I find some of these manufacturers, even I was watching this demo with Paul Reed Smith mm-hmm. guitar company.
Yeah.
And they're making these signature Strats.
Okay.
These copies. They're better than, they sound better than the actual
PRS
Strats.
Like,
so, I'm, yeah, so it's just funny that these manufacturers are copying like the Fender mold, you know?
Yeah.
But they're doing it better, I find. Even like Mexican Strats, which are like mm-hmm. not like the, I'm talking about guitars now at this point, but they're not even, you know, the official American standard Fender Stratocaster,
mm-hmm.
but
they still sound great.
Can't hear, yeah, and they yeah. can't hear a difference.
I mean, I think my opinion of gear, I mean, there's always a conversation of like, how much does gear matter?
Yes.
And I think it's really, I mean, if you look actually a great analogy for this, do you know who Victor Wooten is?
Yeah,
you,
of course.
So he plays a very, very expensive Fodera.
Yeah, right? Is that it's custom, right? It's
custom shop, his Yin Yang Fodera.
Yeah, okay.
Awesome bass.
Yeah.
Have you seen his brother?
No.
Plays a Fender Squire guitar.
Hey.
Same stage as Victor Wooten playing his whatever $3,000 Fodera, right?
Right.
Maybe more than three.
And I bet he makes it sing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have these guys who are the top of their game, respected musicians, phenomenal in their fields, and their choice in gear may not even be a financial one. It's really just the sound that they want.
Interesting.
So, I mean, I'm of the belief that once you kind of pass a certain threshold of like quality, it's a matter of choice. It's more a matter of, no matter what you get, it's going to be good, but it's how precise of a thing do you want out of your instrument, right?
Yep.
And then you have, you know, your added specs of your active bass, of passive bass, of different kind of pickups that are different
pedals and things and all that.
Pedals are a whole nother ball game.
Do you use pedals? Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I used to have, so for this psychedelic folk band that I was playing in, or that I do still play in, I started out with about 7 pedals for a set.
7 for a bass player?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was too much.
Oh, God.
Kind of hit this point where I was like, I don't need all of these pedals. It doesn't matter. So last gig we played, I used 1. I used the Pitchfork by EHX.
Nice.
Which is a phenomenal pedal. I recommend it to anybody who wants to any kind of sub bass, even octave up, octave down, chorus, it's all there.
Awesome.
In the past, I've used reverbs. I've used different types of octave pedals, Ottawah filters.
Chorus effects, things like this.
Yeah, I had the Corona Chorus by TC Electronic for, I actually just sold it a little while ago.
Okay.
I also tried the compressor out, which it was good. I can't say anything bad about it, but I just didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the thing where I needed that kind of a sound.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So no, I mean, like, gear definitely matters to the extent that you can get your sound out, right? For me, like, I never wanted a super pricey custom shop bass. I was happy with the way a P bass sounded, right? I did just get a fretless, but that's still based on a P bass. It's not anything fancy.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game though.
Fretlesses are whole. They're a lot of fun, but they're tough.
Tell me, learning. On this track that you brought in, this next one. Is this, do you know who was playing bass actually on this?
I've looked it up. I can't find it.
On this Jordan Rakai track?
Yeah, I was looking up the bass player for Jordan Rakai, and I couldn't find it. And then I actually watched a video. There was a documentary on one of his most recent records.
Uh-huh.
And he's sitting on a couch going over a tune with his band, and he's playing bass. He's not playing plugged in. He's sitting on a couch just kind of strumming.
Okay, that's a good clue.
Which gives me a suspicion he might be playing bass. But the bass lines are really, really good. To me, Jordan Rakai's bass lines, we were talking about Pino's bass lines and Sheree Reed's, which I think are examples of like really tight, like pocket playing, but have that improvised kind of feel where every, you know, bar they play, maybe the same structure, but it's different licks. It's different feels, different way they pop, different way they kind of hit the octaves and stuff. Jordan Rakai's bass lines I respect a lot because they are pocket as can be. And they make a very solid foundation. There's not as much improvisation in them.
Hmm.
Except when there has to be, right? It's yes. Much more minimalistic.
Cool.
But it's a very like good example of how to do a studio recording. Just a very tight, do this bass line, make it sound as best as it can be. And
awesome.
Don't embellish, yeah.
Awesome. So which one do you want to hear now?
So I really love Midnight Mischief. That's a song that I've been able to perform a couple times.
Cool.
Goodbyes is also a great tune that kind of has that same pocket vibe.
Cool. No, I like that Midnight Mischief has maybe a little more personal connection to you. So maybe we'll go down that path.
That's a fun one because it has multiple sections in the tune as well. So you start off with this very groovy line, and then it goes into maybe kind of more of like a neo soul vibe.
Sweet.
And I'll actually say the ending of the song is very abrupt, and I think it's kind of hip.
Awesome. Well, that ending is going to lead us right into another commercial break, and then we'll come back. We won't have too much time, but we still have a good 10 minutes to wrap things up over there. You're still listening to Sold Out on CJLO Radio, 1690 AM. I'm here with Eli Heimowitz. He's my guest. We're talking all things bass, all things soul, and I'm talking all things Jordan Rakai right now. This is Midnight Mischief. It's going to lead us right into the commercials. Stick around, folks.
Dawn and I waited on the filter, sold to typify. Says she called me mister under misty skies. Hit to get there quicker, rebel through the night. Cause I truly missed her universal charm. Cause she thinks it's humor and I mean no harm. Lie down and soothe this. Fall back, she says. Let's just keep this mutual. It's these lines I tread. Too much life for simple. Midnight mischief strolling through my mind. Hurt you there, but I left you behind. As the night awaits, I can see her sleeping. Step down, mistake. Does she know my secret? I'm in love with her. Let the love manifest. Watch me take my serve. Does she know I'm master? Watch me take control. She doesn't know what hit her. Glimpses of her soul. Has a seamless dinner. Numbers on the plate. It's my turn now. 1 minute to the hour. Midnight mischief strolling through my mind. Caught you there, but I left you behind. It's my midnight mischief time. Come back home to the place I like when it's over. I'll be waiting all day. Never seem to hold myself and notice that it's a dangerous place. Used to care, but I can see your whole day. The fall of a better place. Midnight slowly creeping through the curtain. No. Melody shows that tonight. Midnight flow, rest, rewind. Love, love's melody shows that. right away.
Midnight coffee, all right, my love for you, take control.
And I can't blame myself, I got the right away.
Midnight coffee, all right, my love for you, take control.
See, I can't blame myself, I got the right to play.
Midnight coffee, all right,
oh, no,
take control.
Looking for a way to beat the heat this summer? Have you heard of Kalem Creamery? They offer traditional and Asian-inspired fun ice cream flavors and fresh soft-serve swirls that change weekly. They even have an Instagram-worthy black ice cream. Do you dare try it? Our friendliest staff will let you sample anything your heart desires. Located next to Concordia's Loyola campus in NDG, Kalem, rain or shine, it's always ice cream time.
Hello, I'm Rick Jason. Do you think all electronic music is the same? On Rick Sessions, we play everything, from the most energetic to the calm, from the euphoric to the gloomy, from the cutting edge of the music scene to tracks that have stood the test of time, from 100 BPM to 180 BPM, and everything in between. Plus, you'll get to listen to a weekly mix performed live by me. Rick Sessions is on air every Thursday from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern, live only on CJLO 1690 AM and on CJLO.com.
Hey everybody, this is Sold Out. I'm still Lou, still here in the studio with Ellie Heimowitz, and we've been talking bass and soul all night long. But unfortunately, we're kind of running a little bit tight on time already. Can you believe that?
Man, time flies, man. Time flies.
Especially when you're having fun this. And man, seriously, thank you so much for coming on to the show. This has been a real joy.
Oh, that's great, man. It's always this is what I do with my friends when I get bored anyways. I talk about bass. So it's great to
I have nobody to talk to bass with, so this has been great.
Yeah, it feels good.
Before we go to our playout song, do you wanna just remind the people where they can catch some of your music, where they can listen to some of your recordings and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So I play with Aquarius Dreams, which I believe is gonna be our lead out song. We just put out a record called Flora's Earth Tones. So stay tuned for live shows and check out the songs or on every streaming platform available. I play with Andrea Piperni. She's a local singer-songwriter, a lot of soul, a lot of funk, a lot of fun to play with. And she's putting out songs every now and then. A lot of fun. I play with Melissa Plett. She's a country singer. And then I also play in bands all around town. So check out Cooler Than Freezing. Check out anything with Bliss. And like I said, Aquarius Dreams, Andrea Piperni, and Melissa Plett.
Very cool. And your band Aquarius Dreams, can we catch it? Catch them on Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of stuff.
Instagram, Facebook's everything. Yeah.
All right. You heard that? You heard it, everybody. Aquarius Dreams. We're gonna finish the show now with this playout song. This is Brazilian Opal. I've been lucky enough to talk to Ellie this whole time, man. Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
My
this
pleasure,
is super fun. You come back anytime you want. I mean that.
Oh yeah, we'll do it again.
Oh yeah. All right, people. This has been Sold Out right here on CJLO Radio, 1690 AM. Don't be afraid to leave a tip in the on the CJLO website page. We're collecting funds for the funding drive, so if you feel so inclined, please, by all means, go give us some money. And I'm gonna switch it over now to Aquarius Dreams. This is Brazilian Opal. I'll catch you all next week. I think I have a special idea for the show next week. I'm not going to share it just yet in case it doesn't happen, in case I resort to a normal playlist. But it's going to be a good show next week also, so stick around. I'll be right back here, 8 p.m., CJLO Radio, 1690 AM. Thank you for listening, folks. Here is Aquarius Dreams.